I was surfing the internet the other day when I came across a somewhat different article on Lent. This is how it started. An alien question to today's younger generation is, what are you giving up for Lent? No child of my acquaintance, it continued, gives up anything for Lent. Nor have my generation of parents ever exacted or enforced the custom. Partly, the article explained, because we did not really favour privations. The Stoic tradition has died with the introduction of central heating, and partly, it continued, because the shopping and consumer culture is inherently hostile to anything like a Lenten practice. I skimmed to the bottom of the article to find the author and discovered it is Mary Kenny, columnist for the Catholic Herald and author. Immediately I wrote her an email asking whether she would agree to speak to me about her ideas. And immediately she replied and told me that to start with, she was probably thinking back to her childhood in Ireland, where there was a much more stoical attitude to various privations.
Although we did have heating in the wintertime, nevertheless, you were not encouraged to turn on the heating until it got really quite cold. This also obtained, actually, in English public schools as well, where it was considered that a little bit of suffering in terms of cold baths and the like are good for you. Now, I mean, everything in moderation is the golden rule, but I think that we have slightly lost the sense of actually depriving ourselves sometimes of small comforts and small pleasures, simply because it probably is rather good for our characters not to have everything all at once. And it rather shocks me in England to see today that Easter eggs are for sale in the stores long before Lent has started, and that children are automatically given Easter eggs long before Lent has started. And it seems to me that we've sort of lost the sense of do without for a little bit, and then you will have the reward.
One interesting point you make is that contemporary technology has ruined all sense of season, that the disappearance of seasons in food means that the seasonal rhythm of Lent also disintegrates in a way.
Indeed, I mean, Lent was, of course, based on the sort of natural rhythm of the year and the way in which the winter stocks would be beginning to run out by February and March, and then would come the spring, and of course we would have the Paschal lamb and so on at that time of the year, and the hens would begin to lay again. So that, I mean, quite a lot of religious law is linked to natural law anyway. But we have a different concept today. We've got the microwave and we've got the deep freeze, and we have strawberries in winter, and we have fresh peas flown to us from deepest Africa using all that carbon footprint. So we tend not to have such a sense of the rhythm of the seasons anyway. It was actually the cookery writer Delia Smith who has written about this quite a lot as well, and the way in which she finds that a lot of school children have kind of lost sense with the roots of food anyway. I mean, chickens in England don't even come with giblets anymore, so that the child gets the idea that a chicken is something which comes from the supermarket shelf, whereas older people could remember the time when, you know, you had to pluck the chicken and eviscerate it before you actually cooked it. And again, this is not an argument for keeping women at the kitchen sink doing all these things, but if we lose a sense of our connection with the way nature produces food and the rhythm of the seasons, I think that we do lose touch with some sort of core sense of our own rhythm as well.
Another interesting point Mary makes is that there are very few everyday references in the secular world of the Lenten season, and that there is widespread ignorance as regards the meaning of Shrove Tuesday or Mardi Gras, although there are differences from country to country.
The northern countries had a much more residual approach to this, and Pancake Tuesday or Shrove Tuesday was, in a way, I suppose, a Protestant concession to the Mardi Gras idea. But that has almost completely disappeared, and there was a poll taken this year in Britain which showed that I think 2/3 of people didn't know what Shrove Tuesday was, and they no longer mark even the pancake. Again, a pancake is something which now you can have at any time, and there's no particular significance to it. I have to some degree, blame the church itself, I think, for these changes, because I think that the Catholic Church could have held on a little bit more to the dietary rules. After Vatican II in the 1960s, there was a shift to sort of say, look, stop giving up things all the time, and instead, why not do something very positive, such as save for the poor and so on. And that's a very good thing. But I think that in trying to shift towards a different emphasis, the ideas behind the fasting and abstinence were actually lost, and thus they've almost culturally disappeared. And I suppose I'm contrasting a very different world again in Ireland, which was a very Catholic country in the 1950s and 1960s. For example, people didn't get married during Lent except by a very, very special license, and there were hardly any dances during Lent. So there was a general community feeling of having this period of self-sacrifice, if you like. So on the other hand, it did knit the community together, and it did make people feel they were doing something in a community spirit. And therefore, the dances and the weddings that came after Lent were particularly joyful.
Many church-sponsored Lenten campaigns today ask us to contribute funds to overseas development as part of our Lenten exercise, which is all very well. But there is something in this that makes you uncomfortable, you say, because it deprives us of the spirit of Lent.
That's all very much part of the secular culture now anyway. In Great Britain we have things like Comic Relief Day, where comedians come on television and do funny things, and it's all for good causes. That's all absolutely admirable and excellent, but that has very much become the territory of the secular culture, and therefore it doesn't really impinge in any way in terms of our developing a spiritual life of our own, which is what part of the Lenten exercises were about, was that it was to cause you to reflect upon your own life. And that's not just in Christianity. I mean, it's in several other religions, and I think the church has let go of that too much and too easily, and really should restore the sense of our carrying out certain dietary exercises and certain personal privations for the sake of our own spirituality.
Your anthropological analysis is very interesting, and it's actually very easy to follow because everything you say is so tangible. But at the end, what you say, the spirit of Lent is dead because the spiritual element has been so thoroughly removed.
Well, perhaps it's a little bit indulging in hyperbole to say that the spirit of Lent is dead, but it certainly has diminished enormously. And I don't think things ever die, because I do think there's always a revival, and people come to appreciate that many of the old traditions, which were there for a very good reason, deserve to be revived. And I think that it's quite possible, you know, we will see a kind of revival. But I think that we have let go far too easily and far too much of the actual spirit of Lent, which had a very, very good purpose, both in spiritual life, in community life, and I would also say in things like character building. You know, we have a lot of concerns today about children getting far too many expensive toys too quickly, too easily, and in consequence of this, that they're not really happy, that they're over-pampered with material things and yet not able to appreciate sometimes the simple things. There are many concerned, not by church people necessarily, but by psychologists and by social analysts. And I think that there again, if we had understood the point that less is more sometimes, if you save up for something, it's sweeter. Deferred gratification is part of the whole notion of valuing something. So that I think we've lost more than the spiritual in letting go of so many Lenten practices. I think we've lost a lot of psychological and indeed sociological phenomena as well, which were part of the sort of building blocks of our society and indeed of our culture.
Thank you very much, Mary. There's one thought that came to my mind as you were speaking. At the very beginning, you mentioned the carbon footprint. And I was thinking, in this evolution, maybe some other elements have converged to become important in this period of the year. There are a lot of Lenten campaigns are dedicated to climate change this year. Do you have any thought about that?
Well, I think that's quite interesting, because I think that is quite often old ideas coming out in new livery. And I mean, I'm not at all against some of these campaigns, because quite honestly, they are quite often just repetitions of the kind of ideas that my mother, my grandmother would have had about waste. And I am really quite shocked sometimes to see the amount of waste in my own garbage every week, and the amount of packaging, and really the sinfulness too of so much food thrown away and so much abundance wasted. And I think that if there is a new Puritanism which is objecting to that, it's no bad thing. And you're right that several other areas, if you like, of health-related issues tend to reassert themselves during Lent. For example, Ash Wednesday now has been taken up by no-smoking campaigners. They ask people not to smoke on Ash Wednesday or to use Ash Wednesday as a reason to sort of give up cigarettes. There's nothing wrong with that either. But again, in our traditions of Lent, I think we mingled the notion of the body and the soul together, and that, you know, the healthy body and the healthy mind was interlinked. Whereas with the secular campaigns, they're almost wholly focused on the body, and that is missing out again the spiritual and indeed the psychological dimension.
You've been listening to Mary Kenny, author and columnist for the Catholic Herald.